This morning I'd like to begin by calling your attention to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. In this wonderful chapter, Paul is identifying a lot of things that we all need to be doing in our Christian lives. And in verse 17 he says, pray without... Can y'all finish that? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. How many, does anybody in the house today know of anybody who doesn't need prayer? I don't. We all need to be praying for one another, for ourselves, and the apostle would admonish us to pray without ceasing. Now that doesn't mean that you've got to be on your knees in a private closet all the time praying. That wouldn't be practical. But we do need to be God conscious all the time. How many of y'all are God conscious when you wake up in the morning? That's a wonderful way to wake up, with your mind on God, and go to bed at night feeling His presence and talking to Him. And just go through the day aware of the fact that we are ever in the presence of God. And we ought to be communicating with Him. You know, if heaven is our home, we ought to be calling home. Would y'all say that's a good idea? And talking to our Heavenly Father. Pray without ceasing. Now, you may say, well, Brother Sam, what is the most important thing in my life as a child of God? I want to notice with you a text over in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul, Luke is describing to us the church in Jerusalem, and they're going to start setting aside 7 men in the church to take care of the financial aspect of the church, etc. And let's begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Now, y'all think murmuring in the church is commendable? Is it becoming? No. None of us ought to be murmuring. But there was murmuring going on in the church in Jerusalem. And it was between the widows of the Grecians and the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily care or ministration. Then the 12 apostles called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report. Now the 7 men are going to be ordained in the church as deacons. Notice the qualifications for a deacon. He has to be of honest report. In other words, he speaks the truth. He's an honest person. Full of the Holy Ghost, which means that he's under the influence of the Holy Ghost, and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the apostles are saying to the church, we're going to set these men aside to take care of the things that need to be cared for in the church, such as finances or caring for the widows or ministering to the sick, things of that nature. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Here are two things that the apostles are saying that they need to give themselves fully to. That is to prayer and to the ministry of the word. In other words, our responsibility is to study the Bible and be ready to preach the word of God when the opportunity is extended. You may say, well, Brother Sam, which is the most important in a minister's life, prayer or the study of the word? Well, I don't know that you could say one is more important than the other. It would be like being in an airplane and saying, well, the left wing is more important than the right wing. I don't think that would work. You need both of them. And a minister of the gospel needs to give himself continually to prayer and also to the study of the word of God. That's so essential. The church, prayer is the very oxygen of the church. It helps us to live, to function, to breathe. And we all of us, especially the elders, need to continue in prayer. And that's what our beloved apostle is telling us. Now I want to go with you to Philippians chapter 4 for just a moment, where the apostle Paul is admonishing the church at Philippi. And he would say to them in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Now that word careful there means anxious. Don't be full of anxiety about anything. Be careful for nothing. And you may say, well, Brother Sam, in a broken, troubled, dying world like we live in, how can I be free from anxiety? Well, he tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Paul is saying, instead of worrying and fretting and being full of anxiety, why don't you just take everything to the Lord in prayer? And I have found in my life, when I'm really troubled about something and worrying and fretting, if I'll just take it to the Lord in prayer, just get off alone with Him and pray, it calms me down. It's a lot better than alcohol and drugs, I can tell you. It's wonderful for a child of God to learn to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Be careful for nothing. And beloved, it's important, I think, and helpful to remember that when Paul was writing this to the church at Philippi, he himself was a prisoner in Rome. He had been arrested by the Roman authority. He had been put in prison. He was no longer free to travel and preach. So you would think he's got a lot to worry about. But you know what he did? He took it all to the Lord in prayer. Now what's our problem today? Any of y'all been in jail lately? No. We are blessed. We are richly blessed to be able to gather here this morning, have enough health and strength to get out of bed, get dressed, come over here and worship God. How many of us know what a blessing that is to have our freedom? Thank God for freedom that we have as American citizens. Now, Paul didn't have that. He had been arrested. He had been put in jail. And yet, from jail, he's writing this letter to the church at Rome. And he would say to them, be careful for nothing. Now, he's not sitting in a pastor's study with, you know, 2-inch carpet on the floor at a mahogany desk dictating this to a secretary. He's in prison. Are y'all with me? Come on now, what's our problem? And yet, he would say, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You know why Paul could not be anxious and worried? Because he's got a heavenly Father. He's got somebody up there he can call on who is a present help in time of trouble. Are y'all with me today? How many of y'all have ever called on him and you found that his grace was sufficient? I mean, times without number, I've been blessed to call on him and he was there in a moment, in an instant. And I want to just say to everybody in the house today, you can call on him any time of the day or night, whatever your situation is, and your prayer can be just as effectual as the Apostle Paul's. But what we've got to do is use it. And I'm glad to tell you this morning, when you call heaven, you're not going to get a busy signal. You're not going to be put on waiting. You're not going to get a menu. Don't y'all hate it when you call and they put you on a menu and you got a dozen choices to make and you punch the button, especially these doctor's offices. And they'll give you all these choices and you push one button and they send you to another one. You don't get that with your Heavenly Father. He is there. His ear is open to our prayer at all times. So Paul would say, be careful for nothing. You say, Brother Sam, I can't live my life without worrying. Well, if you love to worry, you're in luck, because there's a lot to worry about in this world. I mean, major problems everywhere. But let me tell you, worrying has never helped. I've done my share, and I can tell you it's never helped me. Anybody in the house today can say that worrying has ever solved your problems? No, it just makes it worse. Instead of worrying, why don't we take it to the Lord in prayer and find help? And if God doesn't do for you what you want him to do, I'll tell you what he will do. He'll give you grace to bear it. I've been to the Lord in prayer a lot of times, and I didn't get what I asked for, but I never got up without feeling better. It's amazing just to be aware of his presence. So Paul would say, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And I want to say this morning that thanksgiving is a very important part of prayer. I mean, we've all got a lot to be thankful for. Anybody in the house today aware of how blessed you are? I'm telling you, we're blessed. We are blessed beyond counting, beyond measure. And we ought to be giving thanks at all times. And one of the most important parts of prayer, in my mind, is seeking the Lord's fellowship. I want to turn with you this morning over to Psalm chapter 63. And let's look at a beautiful expression that the psalmist gives us in this psalm, Psalm 63. And by the way, beloved, The book of Psalms, there's 150 Psalms in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, and the book of Psalms has been referred to as the hymn book of the Old Testament. See, the Jewish people sung these hymns. They would put music to them, and they would sing them. And it's a wonderful hymn book. A lot of our songs today in our hymn book are based on the Psalms of the Old Testament. But not only is the book of Psalms a song book, it's a prayer book. And as you begin to read the Psalms, you'll find that the writer of these Psalms is often talking about God, and then he'll start talking to God. And you'll be blessed if you'll just spend some time reading the Psalms. Now notice what David said in Psalm 63. Oh God. I tell you, there's a lot of preaching right there, isn't it? Oh God. He is aware of God. Wouldn't that be a blessing if our nation today was aware that there is a God in heaven? and that we were calling on Him on a regular basis. Oh God, Thou art my God. Oh, I love that. He's not just God, but He's my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Here, the psalmist is thirsting for God's presence in his life. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. When he gets up in the morning, he is longing to feel the presence of God. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. I tell you, that's a beautiful psalm, isn't it? Here is somebody going to sleep at night, and their mind is stayed on God. I want to tell you, beloved, I understand that the atheists say, how can you believe in somebody you haven't seen? Well, I can't explain that, but I want to tell you, I talk to him every day. How about y'all? I was talking to him this morning on my way to church. I was trying to pray for all of these people. I hope that you are aware there is a God in heaven. Now, He's unseen to our natural eye because in His glory, He would blind us if we could see Him. So He has been gracious enough to veil His glory so that we can't look on Him and lose our eyesight. You see, the natural sun is so bright that if you and I spent much time looking at it, it would damage our vision. Well, I want to tell you, the sun in all of its glory is not to be compared with God in His glory. Now, we'll see Him someday. The Bible says face to face when our bodies are glorified. That'll be a day, won't it? When you can actually see Him, look on Him with these glorified eyes. But right now, we can't. But I want to tell you, everything around us would tell us there is a God, and it is upholding the universe. You know who brought that sun up this morning from the eastern horizon? Wasn't the government. You know who brought up the sun? Wasn't oligarchs. It wasn't multi-billionaires. You know who brought the sun up this morning? And by the way, it wasn't the rooster. I love the story about the rooster. You know, the rooster realized one day, you know, when I crow, the sun starts coming up. And he thought, if I didn't wake up and start crowing, the sun wouldn't come up. Farmer Brown wouldn't wake up. All the other animals wouldn't wake up. So the rooster ended up with insomnia. Now, you know that would be a burden. Are y'all with me this morning? I want to tell you who brings the sun up. It's not the rooster. It's God. And if He can bring the sun up, don't y'all think He can take care of us? You may say, well, Brother Sam, don't mess up my worrying now. That's my gift. Some people, I think, enjoy worrying. They got a doctorate degree in it. But I can tell you, it's not going to do your health any good to worry. You just need to seek the Lord early in the morning. just be near Him. Oh, I love this beautiful psalm, Psalm 63. I would encourage you to read it some on your own. Let's see. I believe prayer helps a child of God keep the main thing the main thing. How many of y'all struggle to keep the main thing the main thing? I want to tell you, when you're praying, it helps you to focus on what God, what is important to Him in this life. And prayer helps protect us from sin. See, when I'm on my knees praying or driving down the road praying, my mind is protected from the devil. See, Satan has access to our minds. But I want to tell you, the devil himself trembles when a child of God is praying. I love what, there was a queen in England. I've been thinking about her some this week as England is celebrating the Jubilee, 70 years of Queen Elizabeth. Well, there was a queen in England who was not a godly woman. She earned the nickname Bloody Mary. She had so many Christians put to death that she was called Bloody Mary. Now, she said this, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than I fear the armies of France." That wicked woman had enough knowledge about prayer and God to know that when that old man got on his knees in Bedford prison and started praying, there was a power unleashed greater than the armies of France. Did you know that prayer is available to you and to me on a regular basis? What are we calling home? See, when we're praying, Satan, we're protected from the devil himself. I want to close this morning over in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's turn there just a moment. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he begins to ask them to pray for him. And he says in chapter 6 and beginning in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now this is a part of spiritual warfare. Paul has just identified the armor that a child of God is to put on in order to fight the good fight of faith. And a very vital part in Christian warfare. And did you know we're all involved in spiritual warfare on a daily basis? I am. Satan is after me all the time. He is. I suspect he's after you. He's after our children. He's after our church. He's after our government. Satan is attacking on a regular basis. And spiritual warfare is very important. And we need to put on the whole armor of God. And a vital part of spiritual warfare is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. Now he's asking the church at Ephesus to pray for him. And I would ask the church at Cool Springs to pray the same for me as your pastor. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Would you all pray that God would always grant me liberty and freedom to preach? Sometimes when a man is preaching, it's like somebody's got the foot on the brake. You just can't get started. That's bondage. I want to tell you, that'll make a man sick. If you're up trying to preach the gospel and you just don't have any liberty, you don't have any freedom, that's awful. Would you all pray? See, y'all play that big part in the preaching service here at Cool Springs. You know how? By praying for me, that God would grant me utterance. Don't just assume because a man is called of God and he preached last week that he's going to preach this week. I would ask you all, I would beseech you to pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Pray that God will help me to be bold as a preacher of the gospel. Not a coward, not scared to preach on something because it might offend people. Pray that I may preach with boldness and to make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that God would bless me to make things simple enough for the children to get. You know, I don't ever want to be called a deep preacher. You know why? Because when somebody says he's a deep preacher, what they're basically saying is, I didn't understand what he was saying. And a lot of the time, instead of it being deep, they just muddied up shallow water. I want to make things clear. I figure if the children can get it, y'all can get it, right? I want to make simple the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you pray for me? Let's join in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for this church. I pray that you would bless this church to love you, to honor you, to worship you. We are your children. We've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. We owe you everything. And we're here this morning to worship you and praise you. And we thank you for prayer, that we can call to heaven anytime and find help in time of need. We pray now that you'll bless the furtherance of the service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.